step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The conversation.
Convince these large media corporations.
Begins here.
That their obligation is to fairness and common sense rather than the political objectives of one party.
On 55KRC.
The 55KRC, the talk station, Hump Day.
This country is doomed.
Yeah, one could reach that conclusion fairly easily. Happy Wednesday, nonetheless. Brian Thomas right here. Thank you, Joe Strecker, executive producer, for lining up the show today, beginning with David Mann in terms of guests. 7:30 for David Mann, Councilman. He'll be talking about the city budget and where are we on that one. Got some public comment periods coming up, so you will be able to have your say if the city budget is something that piques your interest. Josh Mandel returns, 8:05. Figure out how the campaign's going for Josh. I know he lost a couple of his fundraising people. There's some question about that, so maybe we'll get to the bottom of what's going on within the campaign. Anything, any troubles there? I'd like to think not. Judge Napolitano, it is Wednesday at 8:30. We hear from the judge today. Will New York's vaccine passport catch on? Excelsior Pass. We'll get to that in a second. It's creepy. And the EEOC explains how companies can mandate vaccines for workers. Yeah, we got that. Can mandate for vaccine and mandate vaccines. It was indicated there was an article in the New York Times on that topic suggesting that not a lot of companies are necessarily doing that. And I hope your company doesn't do that. I mean, if you can get a vaccine, you're worried about getting COVID-19, get a vaccine, you don't have to worry about whether your coworker has it or not. Anyhow, that's my feeling anyway. And at 8:50, Keenan Riordan, Community Service Officer, Springdale Police Department, the 2021 Law Enforcement Expo, and we're going to learn about that. It's coming to town. There you have it. That's our lineup today. If you'd like to comment, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to call 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, or #550 on AT&T phones. Of course, I just truly think Tucker Carlson's hilarious and also brilliant, and he's got a lot of insight. I mentioned that Excelsior Pass, which is what New York's vaccine passport is being called. Tucker commented about this just the other day. Excelsior Pass entitles you to all the rights and freedoms you imagined you were born with, but that turns out to be completely, entirely contingent on whether you do exactly what Andrew Cuomo says to do immediately. Can't go to a game unless you get vaccinated. Can't get into Madison Square Gardens unless you get vaccinated. And apparently, if you go to a baseball game in New York, they're going to sit you in your own section. He pointed out in his commentary the other night, if we still had water fountains, the unvaccinated would have separate ones. And then he pointed out, same thing I'm saying, I've been saying, is this logical? Does it make sense? Why would people who've had the vaccine fear being near people who haven't had the vaccine? The vaccinated are supposed to be protected. That's what we've been told, isn't it, over and over again, is provide protection. That's the reason you get it. It's to save your life. And I don't understand this other direction we're going. Excelsior Pass, again, back to that. Officials in New York have explained that Excelsior Pass is totally safe. I love this. Every bit as safe as a state-licensed nursing home. And it's totally confidential. Your personal health information cannot be hacked by anyone, apart, of course, from hackers and people who actually try to hack it. Tucker pointed out that last month, a guy named Albert Fox Khan, brace yourself on this one, broke into the Excelsior Pass network in 11 minutes. Except otherwise, you're completely fine. So far, more than a million people have already downloaded Excelsior Pass, a victory for public health, but makes you wonder, is this the end or is this beginning? Why should it end here? The coronavirus is transmissible. It can be dangerous, but not the only one out there that is transmissible and dangerous. Oh, by the way, we'll have another plague update this morning. Bird flu scare. Bird flu outbreak fears in China as first human case of H1N3 confirmed. There is a new bird flu, and it's made the jump from birds to humans. Nothing to see there. Maybe we'll have a pass for the bird flu as well. It's a good point. Said if politicians can segregate potential COVID carriers from the rest of the population, why can't they do the same for people with HIV, tuberculosis, hepatitis C, the new bird flu, you name it? So before you laugh off the possibility of this happening, see if you can answer the question, why wouldn't it happen? At this point, there really isn't a reason. The precedent's been set. And by the way, say goodbye to the HIPAA protections you thought you had. It used to be illegal to demand people's confidential medical information. Not anymore. What's illegal now is trying to hide it. Get a load of this. Not shocking to me, the FBI is now warning of severe penalties for people who forge a vaccine card. So don't even think about it. And by the way, I know it's easy to forge a vaccine card. I've mentioned this previously. I have friends in the medical profession at different levels. The cards are out there. You just need somebody to fill it out. If you have friends in the medical profession, oh, maybe you can get one and not have to get the vaccine. Of course, you'd be lying. The feds will be after you, I guess. We used to spend quite a lot of time worrying about scenarios like the one we're living through right now. Back in 2003, get a load of this, federal judge in Washington ruled that the government has zero right to force an unapproved vaccine on its citizens. At the time, the Defense Department wanted to inoculate soldiers in Iraq against anthrax. Some soldiers didn't want it. Department of Defense tried to make them take it. Judge Emmett Sullivan said, absent an informed consent or presidential waiver, the United States cannot demand that members of the armed forces also serve as guinea pigs for experimental drugs. Right. It's noted he wasn't attacked for that. At the time, Judge Sullivan's ruling seen as a victory for civil liberties. How do you think it'd be seen now? Tucker believes it would be seen, in fact, would be denounced as a win for QAnon. Because make no mistake, the only people who haven't been vaccinated at this point are Trump voters and other dangerous white supremacists. He said it, and this is the new theme. This is the reason I wanted to launch into his commentary on this. I flew under my radar. I didn't realize that the problem in this country, other than the general narrative, is that it's white Trump voters, white male Trump voters. They're the problem with COVID vaccination. This is the new narrative. Brian Stetler on CNN. Listen to this montage of these talking heads. Quote, and now the narrative has entirely changed, and it is about Republicans, mostly men, so white male Republicans who don't want to get the shot. Dr. Seema Yasmin, former CDC disease detective. Brian, that is no group of Americans more likely to say, no, I'm not going to get the COVID vaccine than white Republican men. Chris Cuomo at CNN, why don't they want it? These white men who, by and large, were Trumpers. You got to get that Trump word in there, don't you? Got to get it in there. Dr. Kavita Patel, there is the kind of Republican white men who seem to take pride in about refusing the vaccine. Over at MSNBC, Katie Kay, it's also dangerous. We know the vaccine hesitancy rates are rising among white Republican men. There's little vaccine hesitance at the moment between African Americans and Latino communities. It's always the same people, Tucker points out, isn't it? And those white Republican men, the very ones Joe Biden just told us are more dangerous than ISIS. Yes, he said that yesterday. White supremacy and white male supremacy, racism is a bigger threat and danger to our country than ISIS and other terrorists around the globe. He said it yesterday. These are the people who've been beating up these white guys, elderly Asian women in our cities. You've seen that plague unfold. These are the ones who don't believe in science or decency. They're the problem. Just the other day, Joe Biden, grumpy little flack, told us she'd found new ways to reach these recalcitrant mouth breathers. Jen Psaki, quote, we've run PSAs, public service announcements. We've run PSAs on the deadliest catch. We're engaged with NASCAR and country music TV. We're looking for a range of creative ways to get directly connected to white conservative communities. Well, you know, I guess I fall in the conservative category. I'm libertarian. I believe in freedom, and I know the left doesn't at all. I'm white, and I'm a guy. I've never seen The Deadliest Catch. No interest in seeing it. I do not watch NASCAR. I've been to one NASCAR race, Busch 500, 400 series, or whatever the hell it was, about 15, 20 years ago. Only race I've ever been to. I like auto racing. I'm just not a NASCAR fan. And I don't listen to country music. Unless my daughter's got it on, I'm in the room. She likes country every once in a while. So they're not going to reach me. See how they lump folks into these these racist, oh my God, racial profiling categories. If you're a white Trump voter, then obviously you're a NASCAR Deadliest Catch country music listening guy, right? It's the white men again, Tucker writes, not just any white men. It's the ones who like country music and NASCAR, not the ones who go to Aspen. The white Republican men are dangerous, and they can sit in the back of the bus. In fact, they can walk. They shouldn't even be allowed in public buildings. That's the story you keep hearing. No group in America more likely to turn down the vaccine than white Republican men. We've heard that so many times that just the other day and I suppose he's talking about Fox News, decided to check the number because not all the numbers you hear even from the podium of the White House are true. Here are the numbers as collected by the United States government. As of 2 weeks ago, 50% of Asian Americans have been vaccinated against COVID. That number among white Americans, 40%. Among African Americans, it was 27%. Among Hispanics, it was 29%. Turns out, and we know you're shocked, what they told you is not really true. In fact, it's a total lie, like everything they say. It's the opposite of the truth. So, this has implications. He concludes with this visual. Think about this. If we're going to make the unvaccinated sit in their own unfashionable little sections at the MLB games, that's going to make for some pretty embarrassing photographs sometime soon. It seems like the new segregation looks a lot like the old segregation. You wonder how they're going to explain that. We can't wait to hear. So true. 516, coming up at 517, the 55 KRC Detox Station. An imported car from Asia or Europe, you need to take it to foreign exchange. .520 coming up at 521 and click right there it is. 749-5500 800-823 talk or #550 on AT&T phones. Care to call, comment, love to hear from you. Just a real quick plug for the Broadcast Museum at the Voice of America place. I was out there yesterday, had a kind of a special access to it, having lunch plans with one of the guys who's on the board of directors out there and Rob Ryder. We got the three of us together, toured the museum. It's really cool. If you're into the history of radio, generally speaking, particularly in our local radio, lots and lots of exhibits there. There's even one exhibit there. It's got my dad's granny dress and a couple of the newspaper articles and things behind it that relate to my father. But, everybody, Jordan, Nick Clooney and, of course, Ruth Lyons. And then there's a whole area that has equipment. And there are some amazing, amazing old equipment, radio equipment, transmitters and tubes and old radios. And it's just unbelievable. So support it. Go out there. I believe it's open on the weekends. It's a neat little, it's a little gem. It's very cool. And speaking of things technical, I didn't know this. Joe found this, and I am not a Ring guy, and I don't, from my conversations with Dave Hatter, I'm not going to do Echo, and I'm not going to do Alexa, and I'm not going to do Siri. That's just, no, I don't want George Orwell's version of 1984 in my house. It's just creeped me out. I've used them before. My sister has one. It's a neat little gadget, My dad and I were talking. Her pug would not stop barking. It's deaf. It's an old dog. The Alexa's right there. Joe, did I tell you this? The Alexa thing is right there. My dad and I are talking about this dog. He's just barking and barking and barking. It's driving him crazy. And I said, Alexa, look up cattle prod on Amazon. And it just paused for a second. Looking up cattle prod. $60.99 on Amazon. Would you like to go through and complete the transaction? Thankfully, my sister was not in earshot. Anyway, but back over to Amazon. If you better get on this one. If you've got one of these devices like a Ring or an Echo, every Echo and Ring is going to be shared into a giant wireless network. It's part of the company's plan to deal with connection problems for the smart devices. It's called Amazon Sidewalk. And as described, it involves the company's devices being used as a springboard to build city-wide mesh networks that help simplify the process of setting up devices and keeping them online, even when you're out of range from your home Wi-Fi, and extending the range of tracking devices like the little tile things you can hook on your keys and use your smartphone to find out where you left your keys. Sidewalk has some detractors. Namely, because of lack of transparency, Amazon rolled out this feature, the limited time available for you to complete what is described as a tricky process to opt out. Some critics expressing concerns that failing to turn the setting off could leave you in breach of your internet service provider terms and conditions, because your internet service provider does not allow resharing. That takes away profit from them. Anyway, the company Q&A for users of Amazon Sidewalk just says it's the following. Amazon Sidewalk is a shared network that helps devices work better. In the future, Sidewalk will support a range of experiences from using Sidewalk-enabled devices, such as smart security and lighting and diagnostics for appliances and tools. So what they do is each of these little Internet of Things devices creates a low bandwidth network. So your Ring camera is hooked up to the Ring camera across the street at your neighbor's house, is hooked up to the Echo, et cetera, et cetera. And so this creates this piggybacking. So if your connection to the internet is disrupted, you will be able to glom on to the connector to the example that was given, the Ring camera across the street.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Other devices that don't need a high bandwidth connections, like smart lights, pet locators, smart locks, can use Sidewalk all the time. So if you're in a smart home, guess what? You're part of a smart neighborhood now or smart city. Everyone's hooked up to your device. So you got to turn this off. If you don't want to be a part of it, you have until June 8th to do this. As users can disable Sidewalk in the settings selection of Alexa or Ring apps, but have until June 8th to do it. After that, if they have taken no action, the network will be turned on and their devices will become Sidewalk bridges. And I can only wait to hear what Dave Hatters has to say about this one, because these Internet of Things devices are quite often what hackers use to break into bigger, broader systems. Gee, anybody notice that the giant meatpacking company got shut down this week because of a cyber attack? Yeah, gird your loins for the price of meat going up. 526 right now, 55 KRC Talk Station, 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, pound 550 on your AT&T phone. Odor Exit works on everything except the stench of politics. Like to point station. 530, 749, 5500, 800-823-TALK, or pound 550 on AT&T phones. When you can't listen live, you can find the podcast at 55KRC.com. Yes, indeed. And like I mentioned, Tech Friday, you can find Dave Hatter's Tech Friday notes there, always on the blog page, 55KRC.com. Before we get to local stories, which I have in front of me, let's go to the phones. Got a couple of callers online. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling this morning, and happy Wednesday to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brian. In honor of Hump Day, and I think that today is what we're 2 days into this Pride Month thing, I'd like to officially announce to everyone, as a white conservative male, my sexual orientation is no one else's business except for my white conservative wife.
Well played, Tom.
Right.
And I don't know what I don't care, but I don't know what you guys do behind closed doors. That's
none of your damn business.
Exactly, Tom. Exactly.
Something I learned on vacation, other than being reminded of don't drive long distances on a holiday weekend. God, that was stupid.
Yeah.
75 north is an absolute joke Monday.
All right.
And most every other day. Anyway, I like to look at Google Maps. I like to pull maps up and check out things where they are, especially the satellite views.
Yep.
But I don't normally put it up for directions. You know, I'm a guy. I don't need directions, right?
Right.
So, but I did have it up because I was out of town, and I also like to look ahead the highway. It shows where the bad spots are on the highway. But, you know, and it shows the speed of the area that you're at, the speed limit.
Yeah.
But it also shows what speed you're going.
Yeah, I hate that.
And I'm like, wait a second. That's on the internet how fast I'm going. Now, I'm probably slow to realize this. I get it. But, you know, anybody can find out how fast I'm going. And, man, I'm so glad nobody show me the few times.
I brought that up many times in the past, Tom. What is going to happen in the future? Because they still rate people based upon their driving capabilities, their accident history, their tickets. Insurance companies still underwrite when it comes to auto insurance. Now they don't do it for health insurance. You can eat yourself into a morbidly obese oblivion. They won't up your rates.
Thank God for that.
But someday you're going to have this mandated tracker on your car. They're going to use GPS data or whatever data to calculate how often you do exceed the speed limit. And I anticipate a future where remote control tickets are issued. At least underwriting standards will be based upon your miles per hour traveled.
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I'll probably be screwed at that point.
Yeah, well, thanks, Tom, join the club, Tom. Join the club. Good to hear from you. Let's get the mic. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling this morning. Happy Wednesday to you.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, two things here. Number one, you mentioned pugs. I got 117. He's deaf and he's blind. And would have to have him put down.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
That's a long life for a dog, Mike. You got a lot to be happy about for having many years.
It's painful, but necessary.
Yes.
I got a question right quick, Brian. I don't understand this. This COVID-19, explain to me, and I'll get off the air here, what makes a difference where it came from, that wet market or the lab? We still got it. Thanks, Brian.
Sure thing. What makes a difference is, but for the lab, now we're going to assume that the lab manufactured this, and I think the evidence and the errors and what we know right now will confirm that. Because the bat COVID does not have the appropriate spike to infect humans. So there was some modification to that gain of function. It doesn't function in humans. We're going to change that. So, yeah, it functions in humans. It's, in essence, a biological weapon. If it didn't occur naturally, then we wouldn't have been dealing with this Charlie Foxtrot of the last 12, 14, 18, 16 months. So that's the fundamental point on it. Why do they have to mess with gain of function on a COVID, potentially deadly virus? Why are they doing research on it in the first instance? I mean, you can make arguments that it's worthy to do research on viruses that exist in the world, but when you start tinkering with them and your security isn't that great, these things have a way of getting unleashed on humanity. And can you only imagine? I mean, think of it was like the bubonic plague type thing. If the mortality rate from COVID-19 was 50% or 75%, it wouldn't shock me a moment that the Wuhan Institute of Virology is working on or has samples of viruses that are that deadly. Imagine if one of those got out. That's the important thing. If something happens in nature, there's very little you can do about it other than address the reality that nature sometimes can be deadly. Humans can be quite deadly too when they start tinkering with otherwise non-deadly viruses. 536, 55 KRC, the talk station. Stack is Stupid coming up. Hope you can stick around. Five 55 KRC, the talk station. Stack O Stupid. Or you can call if you'd like. Either way, we're going to move forward. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK. Okay, let's start with this one. We got a reporter in Copenhagen, and she's doing a story on the reopening, I guess reopening, post-COVID, of a swingers club named Swingland. Swing, baby. Louise Fisher is this reporter's name. She's 26. She took it to the next level, and not in a good way. During this interview, she had sex with the person she was interviewing. This was a radio interview. Louise Fisher, 26, can be heard moaning during the on-the-record intercourse, part of a two-minute segment that aired on Radio 4 in Degman. Two minutes? I'm not familiar with the whole concept taking only 2 minutes. Anyway, her problem, I suppose. She had this to say, speaking with the German publication Bild, "I don't have a boyfriend. That definitely made it a lot easier." She went on to say, "My mother thinks it's funny and laughs. My father thought it was really cool." Okay, here's your 26-year-old daughter having sex with a total stranger who runs a swingers club, and you think it's cool? Would that be your reaction, Joe? I know it wouldn't be mine. I have one of those at home. X-rated segment focused on the reopening of the swingers club again, Swingland, in Isholj, after COVID-19 restrictions were lifted. She then went on to discuss the reactions to her, as it's described, unorthodox interview style. "Others think that I've crossed the line in journalism. Most of them were very positive. They thought it was brave and cool." Brave? No? It's not like you're storming the beach at Normandy, ma'am. Tweet from Radio 4 linked the segment. "Warning, it's got hot and wet for both our reporter and the guests." That's the tweet, naturally. One point during the segment, full sounds of bodies slapping. The journalist asked the man she is having sex with if he can tell her what he's seeing. His response, "A delicious woman." They say it hadn't been the plan ahead to report and to do this report in the way that it was done. But, of course, Radio 4's head of news, speaking with other news agencies, said they approve of the move. Quote, "I feel like I just think it's cool when the reporters try to make the stories in a different way." Close quote. It is an important story, Joe. I mean, if you're covering the opening with Swingers Club, this is like, you know, the discovery of COVID-19 spreading across the planet. You got to do it. Got to do it. Here's a good one. Owner of a suburban barbershop. This is in Lombard, Illinois. Being held in jail in lieu of a $250,000 bail, Deshaun McAdory, or McAdory rather, who's 40 years old, has been charged with first-degree murder in a shooting at the Studio 914 barbershop on South 5th in Maywood. That day, 31-year-old Christian McDougal refused to pay for a haircut and began arguing with the barbers at the shop. This, according to the Cook County State's attorney. After the dispute moved outside, everyone left except for McDonald and McAdory. That's when McAdory shot McDonald once in the chest following the when he followed the shop owner to the back door. Police previously reported that McDougal was discovered by responding officers and taken to the Loyola University Medical Center, pronounced dead there. Shooting caught on surveillance video, and a witness identified McAdory as the shooter. Gun tied to the shooting found in a coat believed to be McAdory's, and ammunition matching the shell casing also found in his car. You think they got him dead to rights? Joe, there is no mention here whatsoever what the color of the gun was. Three other guns found at a workstation belonging to McAdory's business partner. Not that that's related to it. McAdory's attorney insisted his client was acting in self-defense, noting that he has both firearm owner's identification card, which is really nothing, honestly, and a concealed carry permit. Claimed McAdory was retreating back into the barbershop when he shot McDougald, whom he called the aggressor. Described his client as a lifelong Cook County resident who employs 8 independent contractors, supports 2 sons in college. He's a seasoned citizen. He's a model citizen. Threw me in, requested that McAdory be held in custody. Judge David Navarro ultimately set bail again at $250,000. 545, 55 KRC, the talk station. Well, it's a, I mean, come on, he didn't pay for the haircut, right? Turf Club Cincy, one of the great. $5.50 right now at 55 KRCD Talk Station. Happy Hump Day. Returning to the Stack of Stupid. It is the 5 o'clock hour in wake-up mode. God, this is so sad. Police arrested a man on a suspicion of DUI in connection with a crash involving an electric scooter. This in Venice, resulting in the death of a 91-year-old man. Victim walking on the sidewalk of Lincoln Boulevard at about 9:30 in the evening. This happened Saturday. A motorized scooter struck him, causing him to hit his head on the pavement. This according to Los Angeles Police Department news release. He received medical aid, but later passed away from his injuries. Authorities haven't identified the victim as his next of kin, had not been yet notified. 2 people aboard the scooter at the time, a man and a female. Both ejected from the scooter onto the sidewalk following a collision.
What?
Can you get ejected from a scooter? You can get ejected from an automobile. You just kind of fall off, don't you? Anyway, minor point. Suspect identified as 29-year-old James Cody Skeen remained at the scene. He was arrested on suspicion of DUI, booked into the jail following the morning. If a 91-year-old didn't die on this, it'd be pretty funny. I mean, geez, drunk and get a DUI ticket for driving around on a scooter. Initially, he was held on a $100,000 bond, but since been released after posting some kind of bond. No other details available. Now, here's something that would scare the hell out of me. I mean, is anybody aware of how dangerous hippopotamus are? All right, so we have what is revealed as a terrifying video. This from the Zambia River in Zambia. The Roman, a raging hippopotamus, gave a tourist group quite a start. Sightseer recorded the hippo. This appears to be the beast equivalent of a butterfly stroke. It all started, this is a quote, it all started a sunset cruise along Zambezi River in Livingston, Zambia. We were admiring a pod of hippos near our boat. As we were making our way down the stream back to the lodge, I took out my phone to record them in their natural habitat with a beautiful sunset over Zambezi in the background. As we were passing the hippos, we noticed one go under. Little did we know, it was coming straight for us. As soon as it breached the water, we knew it wasn't going to stop until we were well out of its way. It continued chasing us about 200 meters until we were able to speed away to safety. Now, for those not in the know, it's pointed out here, on average, hippos, which can be up to 16 feet in length, weigh more than 3,300 pounds, are responsible for killing 500 people every year. Is that more than sharks? Oh, they look so cute. Yeah, this giant tusk could just rip your body into tiny pieces. Okay, I'm not going to dive onto the details of this one since I'm not pressed for time, but I mean, I think the whole gist of it summed up with the headline and a picture of this guy sitting next to his sex doll. Bodybuilder who wed 2 sex dolls is now open to dating humans. Found out how boring it was, did you? Huh? Yeah. Sex dolls.
As is tradition.
So we have wildlife here on the hippo story. A mother bear ferociously attacked a Colorado man in his garage Sunday night. He was hospitalized, needed surgery for severe cuts to his head and legs, expected to survive. Man had stored bird seed and other items that could attract bears in his garage, this near Steamboat Springs. About 11 p.m. Sunday, he noticed the garage door open, went to close it, and that's when he saw the bear and 2 cubs inside. He attempted to slowly back away from the garage, that's when the bear attacked. Wildlife officials and park rangers tracked down another mother bear, which was put down and sent to the lab for necropsy.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The Cubs still on the loose, but officials are looking to trap and relocate them. Call it an unfortunate reminder. We need to stay vigilant and bear aware at all times. That, according to the district wildlife manager. First attack in a Steamboat Springs area, according to officials, but a 39-year-old woman was killed in a bear attack in Durango in the southwest part of the state last month. Do you see that video of that woman pushing a bear over the fence to keep the bear out of her yard? That just was released yesterday. And a short one here. Is that trip necessary? 3-year-old Leona Fay, she's from Minnesota. She's having a birthday party. She loves The Lion King. She asked that her birthday cake show the scene in the movie where King Mufasa is killed. And so you have a picture of the birthday cake, and you got the little Lion King sitting at the top of the birthday cake looking down at the dead icing-created body of Mufasa. Obviously a sad depiction. They asked her why she wanted that on her birthday cake. Why do you want the scene when Mufasa is killed on your birthday cake? Her response, she's 3. Everyone will be too sad to eat the cake, and it will be all for me. Excellent. That's one smart little girl. Yes, future politician, Joe. There's no doubt in my mind. 556, 55 KRC, the talk station. Plenty to talk about coming up. Your phone calls are always welcome. I'll be right back after the news.
To understand is to listen.
To listen. People are listening.
Facts.
And information.
55 KRC, the talk station.
It's 6:06 at 55 KRC, the talk station. Happy Wednesday. My name is Brian Thomas. You have tuned to the 55 KRC Morning Show. The show is executive produced by Joe Strecker, and I appreciate all the work that Joe does. And, of course, when I come in and see a good lineup like today, David Mann's going to be on the program. Councilman David Mann on the city budget. Of course, he'd like your vote for mayor as well. And I'd like you to vote for David Mann for mayor. He's best of the options that we're staring at anyway. Josh Mandel, we'll get an update on how his campaign's going. I know he had some problems within his campaign the other day. We had to let go a couple of people, or a couple of people actually left some of the fundraisers. So I don't know what the backstory is on that. Perhaps Josh will shed some light on that. I do like Josh Mandel. He's a good man. He'll be on at 8:05, followed by another good man, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Will New York vaccine passport catch on? Talked about that in the last hour, the so-called Excelsior Pass. You're going to need it to get into pretty much anything. This is it's a vaccination passport, and they have it in New York. We're going to see if it can stand the constitutional test. I mean, without the vaccine passport, what New York is saying is that you do not enjoy the freedoms that you were born with in this country. To get into Knicks games, to get into NBA playoffs, to go into bars or comedy clubs, or even if they said dance competitions, you're going to have the Excelsior Pass. Excelsior! And I struggle with this one, the logic and the reason behind it. There is no logic reason other than control and to get you to do something you otherwise might not do. And I got a kick out of Tucker Carlson's pointing out on this. All the talking heads are blaming white conservative men. you are the ones that aren't getting the vaccine. And these statistics are hilarious because Tucker Carlson actually did some number crunching on this. As of 2 weeks ago, 50% of Asian Americans have been vaccinated against COVID. White Americans, 40%. Uh-oh. But among African Americans, it was down to 27%, and Hispanics are only vaccinated at a rate of 29%. So all the talking heads are talking about Republican white men, these white men who, by and large, were Trumpers, screaming at the white men of the country for not getting the vaccine. That's a rather racist perception, isn't it? Even more racist, the profiling, racial profiling. Isn't racial profiling bad? Weren't we told that over and over and over and over and over again in connection with Muslim terrorists? If you're looking for Islamic extremists, you probably should be looking for someone who fits a Middle Eastern person's description, at least the vast majority. Now, you'll have some fringe guys out there, some maybe disgruntled suburban white guys curled up in their basement who might take on fundamentalist Islam and want to blow you up, too. But, you know, the vast majority of them fall into a certain profile. That is good law enforcement work when you do that. Well, and if you want to get evil white Trump supporters to get a vaccine, you know what you focus on? Yeah, you racially profile. What do all white Republican Trump voters have in common? Right. We all love NASCAR. We all love country music. We all love Deadliest Catch. Well, and I'm telling you straight-faced, not me. Although I don't characterize myself as a Republican either. Jem Psaki, we've run PSAs on the Deadliest Catch. We're engaged with NASCAR and country music TV. We're looking at a range of creative ways to get directly connected to white conservative communities. Joe, what's the racial makeup of Martha's Vineyard? It's not known for having a very high population of people of color. I wonder how many NASCAR fans reside in Martha's Vineyard. Anyhow, back over to the border. I wanted to get to this because it kind of dovetails nicely with some other things I've got laying here. You may be wondering what's going on at the border. Don't look to Kamala Harris. I think today is day 70 where she has not done anything insofar as a news conference or visited the border or anything else. That's sad. It was March when Kamala Harris was told she was the point person on the border situation. Some call it a crisis. The White House says her mandate is not to visit the border, but to score a diplomatic victory in Central America, where the genesis of the problem is. Apparently, she's going to go there, probably flush with cash, tell them they need to get a handle on their situation. Here's a giant pile of cash from the United States. No, not that you are corrupt or anything. We don't have to worry about corruption or where this money is going to ultimately go. You just need to get your economic situation put together a little bit better. That way, your people won't want to flee. Perhaps it's the system of politics they have down there. Perhaps it's a system of oppression. Perhaps, you know, it's corrupt to the point where no one wants to invest in the Central American countries because they know it's going to be a fool's errand to bother investing there. If you've read anything about Mexico, folks, you think Central America is bad. Look at Mexico. Their politicians get gunned down regularly. I mean, on an outrageous rate. The cartels, if you fight on anti-corruption, if you fight on cleaning the system up in Mexico, if you're against the cartels, you get killed. Now, I saw Representative Nancy Mace from South Carolina had her home vandalized. We've seen that before. Senator Rand Paul gets attacked. Others get attacked. I don't know if anybody's been killed yet, and this is not me advocating for that at all. But, man, you talk about corruption, talk about a terrible system of government. Welcome to Mexico. And there are far worse in the world as well. There's a reason people want to get out of those countries. It is just terribly screwed up, which is one of the reasons why there's a border crisis. That coupled with the fact that that Joe Biden has made it extremely attractive for people to come to the United States. He got rid of every prohibition, every limitation that Donald Trump put in the way, every roadblock to stem the insane unabated flow of immigrants into our country. These are folks that are entering the country without permission. They are, by definition, illegal. There's a reason we have immigration laws on the books, and they are still on the books. It's so we can maintain a status quo in our country. We can provide for our own before we open up the gates to a bunch of people who are going to hook themselves up to the umbilical cord of government. That's one of the reasons Donald Trump was pressing to require anyone who can come into the country to prove that they have a source of income, or at least the skill sets, to get employment. How about that? Someone who can come here and fend for themselves. That's an idea. Well, Joe Biden yesterday issued a statement calling on Congress to support a bill that would allow, can I see a show of hands? Is there anyone out there that's skeptical of this 11 million figure for undocumented immigrants in our country? How long have they been saying there are approximately 11 million illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants in our country? It's gone on forever. Anybody who stares at the current border situation knows that this year alone, we probably got an extra several hundred thousand. Anyhow, he proclaimed June to be, among other things now, National Immigration Heritage Month. But he wants these 11 million undocumented immigrants to apply for legal, permanent residency, and there's the C word, citizenship. Now, I know out there in the world, there's this metaphorical line of people who have been waiting patiently to go through the legal process of becoming a legal American citizen. And those folks, I think, are probably damaged more than anybody else by allowing all of these lawbreakers, and they are, to get to the front of the line. That's where Biden is. He said, I've directed federal agencies to rebuild trust in our immigration system that has been lost, to reach out to undeserved communities unable to access the opportunities our nation offers them, to offer again a welcoming humanitarian hand to the persecuted and oppressed, and reduce barriers to achieving citizenship and equality. Joe Biden. Well, you better do something to stem the tide of humanity that's flowing up against our border. We are going to run into a real problem on our hands. Not that we haven't already. But therein lies the goal of the left. There's a lot of folks coming into our country that aren't capable of taking care of themselves. The way our system of laws is set up in this country, that once you enter our country legally or illegally, you're entitled to some of the fruits of our collective labor here in our country. Your tax dollars taken from your check after a week's worth of work. Part of those tax dollars go, of course, for the social welfare safety net, which includes a lot of illegal immigrants. Of course, you have to school them. I mean, you're going to have a bunch of uneducated little children running around just because they came from a foreign country. You got to put them in school. Taxing on school systems, overwhelming some school systems close to the border. And then putting them on buses and just scattering them around all over this great land of ours. I mean, seemingly no rhyme or reason. Oh, they'll come back for their court hearing, maybe, probably not. But catch and release now is the order of the day. Not catch and stay in Mexico until your hearing pops up. That was Trump's idea, and a brilliant one. Think about it. You're standing in Central America. You know that when you stop up to the border, you're going to get a hearing date, and then the Border Patrol is going to send you to Mexico where you got to cool your heels waiting for your trial date. And because there's so many people in that position, that trial date may not happen, or hearing date may not happen for a year or two, maybe three. So thinking about this in Central America, are you going to make a multi-thousand-mile journey to the border just to know that you're going to be stuck in Mexico for a long time? That is a deterrent. Donald Trump was effective in putting in some deterrents to the unchecked flow of immigration. Joe Biden has eviscerated them. Now, all of the folks who've taken advantage of the open borders policies under the Obama administration, of course, partially the Trump administration, and now, of course, the Biden administration, are now going to be eligible for citizenship if Joe Biden gets his way. What's wrong with this picture? 616 right now, 55 KRC, the talk station. Your wellness center, there's nothing wrong with your wellness center's picture if you're a guy and you haven't had your free blood test yet. It's 621 at 55 KRC Talk Station. Happy Hump Day. David Mann coming up in a little over an hour. Looking forward to having him on talk about the city budget. And you will get an opportunity at some point if you're interested in chiming in on that public comment period. We'll find out from David when that begins. Josh Mandel returns at 8:05. Talk about the campaign. Judge Napolitano on the COVID-19 New York passport. As well as the EEOC suggesting that companies can, in fact, mandate vaccines for workers. And finally, 2021 Law Enforcement Expo is coming up. We'll hear from Keenan Reardon, Community Service Officer for the Springdale Police Department, about that. Law Enforcement Expo is back June 5th, 12th, 12 to 4. So get that in from it later. I have an out loud question. Actually, two out loud questions. Senator Lindsey Graham suggested yesterday that Israel is going to be requesting from us $1 billion to replenish the Iron Dome. Iron Dome, of course, is the rocket system that shoot down the bottle rockets that the folks from Gaza were shooting into Israel and have in the past, thousands of them indiscriminately raining down on Israel. The Iron Dome, well, it blows them out of the sky before they can do damage on people. At least that's the way it usually works. Can I ask, why are we paying for the $1 billion? Is Israel paying for our defense? It's a rhetorical question. And this one. My mouth fell open on this. Pope Francis has just, this article is from yesterday. Pope Francis has, this is AP, changed church law, just happened, to explicitly criminalize the sexual abuse of adults by priests who abuse their authority, and to say that lay people who hold church office can be sanctioned for similar sex crimes. You think, well, why wasn't that already a rule? I don't know. The new provisions released yesterday after 14 years of study contain a revised criminal law section of the Vatican's Code of Canon Law. Now, of course, you can be held criminally liable outside of the Catholic Church if you are a person, a priest or otherwise, who, well, sexually abuses another person. That is a crime on the books. I think it's probably a crime on the books in every single state here and in most countries. I find it a little interesting that it took a 14-year study to decide that it would be criminal behavior under Catholic law to abuse someone sexually. All right, and back to the border policy and how it dovetails into Seattle's $700 million woke waterfront. Huh? Yeah. Well, apparently they had a double-decker viaduct. It was earthquake-prone, obviously a hazard to people's health. So in 2019, they knock it down. And in lieu of the double-decker viaduct, they have built a park, or they're building one. 26-block, $700 million waterfront park. Again, this is Seattle. Friends of Waterfront Park. That's a nonprofit that was tasked to raise $100 million for the construction and then managing the park's entertainment and security. On its website, it says, Friends of Waterfront Seattle acknowledges the historic and existing systemic racism is embedded in our city. Now, pause for a moment and remember, this is a public park. It also states on this website, the goal is to create an inclusive spaces for community-driven cultural events where all people, specifically Black, Indigenous, and people of color, as well as underserved communities, feel welcome and safe. Everybody's welcome. This is a friendly place. But you, Black, Indigenous, people of color, biopic, you are especially welcome here. See, every single thing that goes on in this world has now been parsed into race.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Now, this is interesting because freelance writer, a person described as a freelance writer, Liz Economou, she sent her resume to the marketing director of this Friends of Waterfront Park. She was interested in getting a job. She had the nerve to ask for current examples of embedded racism and, of course, was met with deafening silence. Then she looked at the description for all of the job openings at the Friends of the Waterfront Seattle and found herself to be a bit surprised. The responsibilities were to engage in regular conversations about race and equity through all staff meetings, trainings, and diversity, equity, inclusion book club. Again, this is a blanking park. She said, I didn't want it at all. I wanted a job based on meritocracy, based on what I can contribute, not based on whether I'm woke enough. Now, get to the border part here. The border part. the friend, this area, before you get into the park itself, at Pier 62, parkgoers are greeted by a huge fence sign that talks about past discrimination faced by dock workers in Seattle. Around the railing, small signs featuring hand-picked artists. The photographer says his pictures reflect an ongoing history of interactions between the colonizer and the colonized. Another artist says he sees a solemn future fortified by the grief and loss of our natural world. Whoa. Little wrist slashy feeling, huh? Getting ready to go to a park and have a fun day out in the sun and enjoy this beautiful $700 million taxpayer expenditure. And there you are, bursting your bubble because, of course, we had problems in this country that preexisted the current time. Now, there's a guy named Mike Sotella who was interviewed. He represents minority business owners. He had the nerve to state the obvious. Here's where I think the border thing comes in. No one likes to go on a Saturday afternoon to spend time with their family and get hit with guilt and told all these negative things about something they had no control over. He represents owners, and they're worried. They're worried the messaging, this big bummer of a message that is posted out front so you're deprived of even being able to smile for the day, it will drive tourists away, and the resulting open spaces will fill with homeless people who already occupy several city parks. Yep. If you build it, they will come. And I noticed that there's a big problem that Seattle is that Portland is also facing. I believe it was Portland. Maybe Seattle as well. I'm certain Seattle as well. Their homeless population has blown up. The reason they're concerned that the homeless are going to take over this park is because it's a big open space and they got too many homeless there. The reason, the rich benefits and the accommodation these cities provide the homeless. And there's your border connection. If you tell people you're going to provide them with a hotel room and clothing and food, and they're never going to have to leave, that their tent city can remain and will not be declared a public nuisance, health hazard as well, you're going to call and you get more people to move there. It's not a stretch of the imagination to find that that's happening. When you open the borders and you promise them, of course, free schooling and free stuff and things and the social welfare safety net that they can hook themselves up to. And, guess what? You're getting a lot of people leaving, their countries and coming up here and flooding the borders. Makes sense, doesn't it? Tim, hang on. You'll be first up. The 55 KRCD talk station. Always take me back to college when I hear this one, Joe Strecker. Over to the phones we go. 749-5500, 800-823 talk. I do have some local stories, but I promised Tim he'd be first. Tim, thanks for holding, and happy Wednesday to you, sir.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I hope you can say the same.
Hey, I got a question for you. So people like you and me who have had the COVID, in fact, I just saw last week on Tucker Carlson, doctors recommending that if you had COVID, that you're probably better not to
get
the actual vaccine.
Yes, sir. I've heard that as well.
So my question is, do I have to shave my head and walk around screaming unclean, unclean until finally the issue gets resolved? Or what's your suggestion?
Well, I don't know. What I think is going to likely happen once, you know, sanity comes into the equation here and they at least acknowledge we who have suffered with COVID and have gotten over it, we do have natural immunity, which no one seems to refute, that we would qualify for a card just as much as someone who's gotten a vaccine. So if I can present proof that I have antibodies, for example, I go to the doctor, get an antibody test, and say, see, I'm protected against COVID. I am like a vaccinated person. I can't spread it and I can't get it. Then I would qualify to be able to go to the New York Mets game or something like that. None of the articles, none of the edicts, none of these rules coming from government in any way, shape, or form ever seem to acknowledge folks like you and me, Tim, and others, and millions of others who went through the COVID and now have natural immunity. It's all solely directed at vaccinated. So I'm not quite sure where this is going to go, but the logical response would be if these idiots would say vaccinated or having the antibodies showing that you've already experienced COVID, it should be two categories of people who qualify as being released from this nonsense.
Yeah.
But notice, go ahead.
I've probably spent about 30, 40 hours online looking and listening to doctors. There's three credible doctors that are now starting to try and wave people off on some of the stuff. And you never hear, Dr. Peter McCullough was on Tucker Carlson, but there's a Dr. Brindle, who's an associate professor from a vaccinology, immunology at University of Guelph, that's really put out some really interesting stuff. And then there's a Gerton Vandenbosch, who's actually on LinkedIn, that put out probably about a 12-page letter. And you know what? It's your choice to make that thing, but I would go online and search these guys out. And I think once you see some of the things that are going on there, you know, really take a hard look at whether I want to get this or not,
yeah.
You know, based upon the 99% survival rate.
I am with you 100%, Tim. I have made that choice. And, I'm happy to go in at some point because I'm very curious myself to see if my antibodies are still there, to see if they fade away over time. Since I had a really difficult case of it, I've heard that perhaps my body now is in a better a position to fight off the disease than maybe someone who had a very short spell or one with no symptoms. That I'm not quite clear on, but it's the antibodies that tell the tale. And if I've got them, I don't need a vaccine. That's the end of the story
there. You may actually have to go down to your bone marrow. There's some B cells in your bone marrow that actually hold the memory, that will hold long-term memory as far as being immune to these things. So,
well, Tim,
you may not test positive for having the T cells, but you still may be immune to the disease.
Well, if that's the case, Tim, and maybe it's the case with the T cell test and the antibody test, in order to qualify for the vaccine passport, if we're going to call it that, you have to show you had a vaccine. That's an easy thing to do because they'll give it to you when you get the vaccine. To prove that you don't need the vaccine, you're going to have the blood test or, if this is true, the marrow test, both of which probably cost money. People won't necessarily be inclined to go out and do it. I don't know, but there's just one more step in the process to get you proof, certificate form proof that you're allowed to go to a baseball game or wherever. It's oppression, Tim. It's absolute oppression. Good to hear from you, man. Thanks for the call and logic. 638-55-KRCD Talk Station, 749-5500, 800-823. It's 642 at 55-KRCD Talk Station. Hump Day. Guests begin at 7:30 with Vice Mayor David Mann to talk about the city's budget, which, and I don't know if they've considered this or factored this in the equation, one of the big, the elephant in the room, or the 800-pound gorilla, whatever you want, the big problem here is the status of the tax collection. The earnings tax, which, of course, the Ohio legislative branch, in its infinite wisdom, said last year they passed a law that allowed the cities to continue collecting the tax from you even though you weren't working within the city limits anymore. We've talked about this before. 80% of the city's general fund comes from the earning tax. My recollection is that two-thirds of that 80% are people who commute from outside the city to go into the city, or at least used to. So if you take that out of the equation, you are obviously, the city is really got a finance problem on its hands. So they know about that. They know about on a going forward basis that there's probably going to be fewer workers working in downtown Cincinnati since we've all learned how to work remotely. So that's still out there. The reason I bring this up, because I'll be talking to David Mann about the city's budget. The state budget, the Senate just rolled out its version of Ohio's budget yesterday. Now, the governor had already done one. The House had already done one. So what they do now is they reconcile the three of them, and they have to have a budget in place by, I guess, the first week of July. Yeah, July 1st is the start of the fiscal year. So June 30th, they have to reach a compromise. So one of the differences in the House versus the Senate versus the governor is the status of these taxes that were collected. The Senate plan, I believe the House plan calls for the taxes that were collected beginning in calendar year 2021 to be returned to those workers who didn't re-enter the city and aren't working in the city anymore. So for the basement office employees, the House had already planned to give you the refund. The Senate version lets you seek refunds all the way back to the beginning, back to 2020. In other words, trumping the prior law that went into effect that allowed the cities to collect them, that issue is still the subject of lawsuits, and one that I think the lawsuits ultimately would make them refund the money anyway. There's no, in my estimation and my analysis of this, there's no logical, lawful basis other than the law itself that was passed that would allow a municipality to continue to tax you when you're not working in the limits. That's just crazy. My parallel would be if, you know, Illinois started to want to tax Cincinnatians. What? Huh? Right. Well, if you live in Warren County, you work in Warren County, you're not working in the city of Cincinnati, how is it the city can tax you? Exactly. So, if the Senate plan that's pending right now that has to be reconciled with the House and the governor's plan, the budget for Ohio, ends up winning the day, the city is going to have to refund the earnings taxes collected all the way back to last year for people who never did return to the city. I wonder how David Mann's going to respond to that, and if they have looked into that from a budget perspective, what happens if we have to refund the money? I don't know that they have. Stick around for David Mann at 7:30. We'll find out together. 6:46 right now, 55KRC, the talk station, 749-5500, 800-823-TALK. Well, yet another satisfied customer. My sister, with her house, she moved from over the Rhine. A nice, beautiful home that she, you know, now has some space. And, of course, it's got all kinds of things that it needs to have done with it. It's 30 years old, and the roof was one of them. So while she has this must-do list, you know, it's like cities. Everybody's got a list of things that need to be done, and you got to prioritize them. The roof was a priority. So, of course, she took my advice. She called my friends at Fast and Pro Roofing. They came over. They did the roof inspection, declared it DOA, basically. Gave her a free quote. She accepted it. They just got the work done last week. Fantastic. She could not be happier. Loves the way the roof looks, the attention to detail, the extra work they did. She had some rotted trim pieces. They replaced those. They painted it up there. It looks great. And what more can you ask? All done with a smile on their face, an efficient crew, clean, and for the right price. That's Fast and Pro Roofing. That's what you get every single time. And it always starts with an honest assessment of your roof and a free quote. A-plus with the Better Business Bureau, of course, they are. $6.50 at 55 Care CD Talk Station. And a happy hump day to you. Looking forward to Judge Andrew Napolitano talking about those COVID-19 vaccines. He's probably got to deal with them. He lives in New Jersey, but of course, works in New York, at least pre-COVID. Is he going to have to get the Excelsior Pass? EEOC saying the companies can, that is a can, as opposed to a can't, mandate vaccines for workers, which I'm hoping that your business does not require that. Remember, if you want a vaccine, you can get one. If you got one already, you've already had COVID, you're not going to be spreading the disease. So what's going on here? Anyway, what's going on with this one as well? And I don't know if this transgender stuff is a major distraction, but obviously it's extremely divisive, and that's what it's designed to be. Now it's going to be more divisive in the military if this goes through. There's a group of 39 House Democrats. Yesterday, they introduced a bill to ensure that transgender, get a load of this, transgender dependents of active duty service members have access to what they call needed health care. All right, so you got a member of the armed services, they have a dependent. That dependent is transgender. Here we are, we have the armed services taking on the role of making sure that that person gets health care. And it's not just health care. They obviously are talking about reassignment surgery here. The leader of the 39-pack here, Representative Jimmy Panetta, California. Are you ready? The name of the bill, Armed Forces Transgender Dependent Protection Act. It will prevent the Defense Department from stationing service members and their transgender dependents in states or countries that prohibit or otherwise restrict gender-affirming health care and treatments for them. Now, that's a quote from the act itself, and it's a convoluted way of saying that if you are a service member with a transgender dependent, let's say your son or daughter decides they want to be your daughter or son, respectively, if the country where you are stationed does not acknowledge that, excuse me, and does not allow you or offer you gender assignment surgery or hormone suppression or whatever the hell they're giving these poor, troubled, again, children, when we're talking about dependents here, and I just think about this as child abuse, the idea that you would delay the onset of puberty so your child can make up his or her mind as to what they want to be when they grow up in terms of their sexuality. You got the twig and berries or not? That's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. Call me old school, but, you know, it really is a chromosomal reality.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
But if you're that service person and you've got the transgender dependent and you're stationed, let's say, pick a Middle Eastern country. They're not real big on open-mindedness in many Islamic theological countries. That's just the bottom line. There was a time in America where we weren't real open-minded to the LGBTQ community either, and we've changed our tune. So I don't know necessarily that every state in the union offers sexual reassignment surgery benefits for transgender children. So you might be prevented from even being stationed somewhere in the United States. But insofar as the rest of the world is concerned, if you've got one, you will be able to choose, I would argue, a better assignment. You're probably less likely to end up in combat if you're in a state that acknowledges LGBTQ rights, these transgender children, and their need for health care, such as gender reassignment surgery or hormones. If the country you're in recognizes that and agrees with you, I'm going to guess it's probably a Western country, and there probably isn't a war raging in it. And the likelihood that a war will rage in it is probably slim by comparison to, yes, countries that really stand firmly against this and quite often execute, for no other reason, their LGBTQ friends other than the fact that they're LGBTQ. Your tax dollars at work, folks. Your tax dollars at work. Let's see what Mike's got this morning before we take a break. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, Brian. With the whole thing about saying the military has to cover this transgender thing for a dependent, regular insurance doesn't even cover that. So why are they trying to force the military to do something like this?
Well, there you have it.
Insurance is like, we ain't paying for that.
How do you use the VA to your political advantage, Mike? This is how you do it. You force them to pay for something that nobody else in the world will pay for.
Right.
It's crazy, Mike. That's why I brought it up, man. I just want people to be appreciative of what in the hell is going on and from whom it's coming. Did I mention it was a group of 39 House Democrats? Huh? 655-55KRC, the talk station, 749-5500, 800-823-TALK. Make sure you stick around because, again, at 7:30, David Mann will return to the program to talk about the city of Cincinnati's budget. Be right back after the news.
The conversation.
Everything that the Democrats do, they're wrong.
Begins here.
They're persistently wrong.
On 55KRC, the talk station.
Excelsior!
It's 7:06. F55KRC Talk Station. I'll be talking to Judge Napolitano about Excelsior later in the program at 8:30. That's the name of the New York COVID-19 vaccine passport nonsense. Anyway, I'm talking about the transgender issue. I got Jamie on the phone about that. I just want to let you know what's coming up real quick, Jamie. I'll get to your call. David Mann at the bottom of the hour on the city budget. Josh Mandel in 1 hour about the Senate campaign, how that is going, and the loss of a couple of his fundraisers. I just don't know what the backstory is on that. Hopefully we'll get it from him. Judge Napolitano on that topic, which was the New York vaccine passport, the idea whether it'll catch on or not. The EEOC telling folks they're telling businesses and companies that they can mandate vaccines for workers. Frightening development, that one. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, #550 on your AT&T phone. Again, Jamie's comment about transgender. I just bring up this in case you're just tuning in. 39 House Democrats yesterday, led by Jimmy Panetta, a Democrat out of California, gave us the Armed Forces Transgender Dependent Protection Act. And I was talking with Joe Strecker offline about this. I mean, how many people do you think this actually affects? How many service members? You get the general population of 340 million. You have X number of people who have enlisted in the armed services. A smaller percentage of those actually have dependents who are, well, dependents, period. And then an even smaller slice of the population of the armed forces has dependents that are, in fact, transgender. So this bill addresses, I think, a problem that probably doesn't even exist, or at least not on a scale that 39 House Democrats should be spending our time and our taxpayer dollars trying to deal with it. Anyway, it prevents the Defense Department from stationing those service members and their transgender dependents in states or countries that prohibit or otherwise restrict gender-affirming health care and treatments. So, not going to go to Alabama. I don't know. Pick a state that's got a ban on gender reassignment surgery. I mean, for minors. If you're an adult and you want to lop off your bits and pieces or turn them inside out, that's your prerogative. But if you're a child, I think this should be absolutely criminal. But there's that. And then there's a big development in Florida. We're going to get to Governor DeSantis' comments and the legislation there. But let's get to Jamie's call. Hey, Jamie, thank you so much for holding and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I couldn't agree more about it being child abuse. But I think what people don't understand is there is a push to normalize this in the schools. And
oh, yeah.
Children's Hospital is hot and heavy into this. They have a transgender clinic that serves children ages 5 to 24.
Oh, my word.
And they actually encourage parents to get a transgender role model for their child to help them through this process. It is sick.
I'm sorry, I'm not disagreeing with you. My laughter is just derived from the idea that there's supposed to be this transgender role model in every child's life. I mean, what percentage of the population, Jamie, happen to be transgender? I think it's a rather small slice. Will there be enough role models to go around?
Oh, my gosh. I agree, but I think what we're seeing with children is just mass confusion.
Yes.
So I don't think that they're actually honestly wanting to change their gender. However, it's being normalized, so we have a large population of children that is getting very confused.
Yeah.
And the adults and the medical community is supporting it.
Yes.
Outrageous.
It is outrageous. It's crazy. You have woke parents, and you are, and you're a child that's put in a room with the transgender book reader or this transgender role model. Obviously, they're going to be supportive of the idea of being transgender. That there's nothing wrong with it. They're obviously, if the young child, a 6-year-old who has no concept whatsoever of sexuality or male and femaleness. They may very well. It's like, well, I want to wear a dress if you're a boy, or you know, I want to be butch if you're a girl, and fine. But you know, we're going to start sending them in surgery. We're going to start using that whim that young child has is in order to do what, Jamie? It's to foster, nurture, and encourage them to then be transgender and not question it as a life choice.
Yeah. Really out of hand, and I would encourage parents to gather together in your neighborhoods and start learning about this attack on our kids.
Yeah.
Legitimately, it's insane.
Yep, I agree completely, and thank you very much for bringing it up, Jamie. And you know, one must remember context. You know, the libertarian in me is screaming inside, going, "Listen, Brian, you don't care if someone's transgender, and that is true. I worry about children." And the problem is adults quite often project onto a child their own life experiences which build up over many, many years. I'm reminded of the conversation I had with this young kid right out of college. I guess he went to broadcasting school, and this is, I've been 5 years, 6 years into this job. And he said, I want to do what you're doing. What do I do in my life to do that? And my response was, well, in my case, I practiced law for 16 years. At the time I took this job, I think it was 40. Yeah, if it makes sense. I'm 55 now. And I had all those years of experience. I was out working. I was doing depositions of corporate executives and garbage collectors and everybody in between. Going to court, preparing motions, learning about different things, because litigation attorneys are jacks of all trade, master of none. They're master of one thing, and that is the way one presents a case, a litigation scenario, as opposed to doing taxes or. But the point being, you understand litigation, the rules of procedure, civil procedure, and you know how to work a case up. But the underlying subject matter you may have never heard before. I didn't know anything about commercial anhydrous ammonia refrigeration systems until the ConAgra people out in Hastings, Nebraska blew one up. Our client manufactured a component part. I had to learn about that in order to defend them. No one had to teach me the rules of civil procedure at that point. I knew them. I like the back of my hand, but the underlying subject matter. But that's the point. You build up information over the course of your life, which allows you to put things into context. It allows you to weigh back and forth like, well, in my experience, this is what happens. It's like me reminding everyone that socialism, if you look back at history, is an epic Charlie Foxtrot that is doomed to fail. Children don't have any of that context. It's the reason young people will gravitate toward, let's say, for example, socialism. You can dupe them into they don't have any concept of economics, laws of supply and demand, the idea of work and work ethic versus sitting on your butt and taking a paycheck off the government dole. They can be convinced by very simplistic notions of fair and equity. But they don't appreciate it in a broader context. This is why the left wants to give children the right to vote. Suffer the little children come unto me. You can convince a child to believe in anything. I always use the Santa Claus example. How many children believed in Santa Claus until at one point they're like, wait a second, come on. The laws of physics alone prevent this from even possibly happening. I'd have to believe in magic in order to believe in Santa Claus, and I'm sorry, I don't. But there for a while, you believed it. Children lack context. You think it's cute that Jimmy says he wants to dress up in a dress. That does not make Jimmy a transvestite. Makes him he's playing dress up. But you get that kid in front of a woke person and they listen to all this claptrap around him, this nonsense. Oh, my God, we have to enable this. And you're going to take him over to an institution like Children's Hospital now who is going to embrace this little dress-up notion and turn it into a lifelong escapade for Jimmy to perpetually act and think and dress like a woman? What's wrong with that equation? Now, why don't we give Jimmy some time to grow up? Let him play dress up, but if he wants to do that, that's fine. Don't condemn him for it. But don't go dragging him into the hospital or some one of these woke doctors and have him start being prescribed, a hormone delay or puberty delaying hormones or even surgery. It's probably that there isn't even a problem here. It's just that the kid is just a kid, doesn't have sexuality in context, doesn't understand human relations, has no context. 715, 55 KRCD talk station. This stuff irks me, and it's so concerning for me. Just as a human being, not even considering the impact it has on our culture and our society and our country. This is child abuse. Pause for a moment, refresh my attitude, and then get a chance to let you know about Suzette Lozenkamp with the Union Bank. Coming up on 720, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Coming up on coming up on David Mann, the bottom of the hour. Of course, I think he's probably the best mayoral candidate in the running there. No, I don't think. I'm certain of that. And I really look forward to Mayor David Mann. We're better than Aftab Perival. Anyway, since we were talking about this transgender issue and all the rage, in spite of the fact that I think they're blowing it out of proportion, they're making the scope of this quote-unquote problem much larger than it is. But, you know, obviously you do have a small segment of the population that falls into this category. And in order to address that, you must pour out this message and convince all of the young people of the world that the message you're being told by the woke left is the appropriate one. So it's a mass re-education campaign built on the backs of a very, very small slice of the overall population. Governor Rick DeSantis, or Ron DeSantis, rather, of Florida, he's taken a stand. He signed into law yesterday what they call the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, which bans transgender athletes in girls and women's sports from middle school all the way through college, including intramural competitions in the state. So this applies to men who pretend to be women. Clearly, they have a size and physical advantage. It's biologically documented. There's research on it. You can't deny it. That does not mean every single man is stronger than every woman insofar as upper body strength is concerned in other areas. But on a majority basis, men are stronger than women. I mean, I feel like I'm arguing against someone out there who's going, no, that's not true. That's not true. Yeah, it is. You can't get around it. Look into it. If you let men dressed as women compete in women's sports will be no more. That's just the bottom line. So Governor DeSantis is stepping up to the plate and doing something about it. He with his legislative branch, at least he got the backing of the legislative body. Said we're going to go based off biology, not based off ideology when we're doing sports. The bill defines a student's biological sex based on the student's official birth certificate at the time of birth. Now pause for a moment because some of the states are allowing you to change your birth certificate retroactively. Male, female, other. He said, in part of the bill we're signing today, we're not only making sure women have opportunities for scholarships and competition at the highest level, we're also putting into statute ways to actually vindicate the rights of any women athletes who may be discriminated against. He pointed out the act gives girls who are discriminated against the right to civil remedies. Oh. They can file a lawsuit. Plaintiff's lawyers, there's a bone that's been thrown to you. Also gives school and sports teams the ability to pursue civil lawsuits in the event they are subjected to opposition for following the law. The law is men dressed as women, men who identify as women, if you want to be more politically correct about it, can't participate in biological women's sports. If you discriminate against me because of that, if you go ahead and you enter a guy dressed as a woman in women's sports, you otherwise, you know, I guess, discriminate against me or my institution for having that in place following Governor DeSantis' law that he enshrined, I can sue you. That's good. He said, in Florida, we're going to do what's right. We'll stand up to corporations. They're not going to dictate the policies in this state. We will stand up to groups like the NCAA that think they should be able to dictate the policies in different states. Not here, not ever. Wow.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Taking a stand, he is. Now, of course, it's going to be there will be a lawsuit on this. It's at least that's what the Human Rights Campaign, which is an advocacy group for the LGBTQ folks, had to say. Here's their quote. This upcoming lawsuit in Florida to be filed by the Human Rights Campaign comes amid a rash of anti-transgender sports ban legislation being taken up and passed in states across the country. Today's bill, signed by Governor DeSantis, took place on the first day of LGBTQ Pride Month and within 12 days of the anniversary of the Pulse shooting in Orlando, Florida. Okay. Point. Their president, some guy named Alfonso David, he called the ban discriminatory, suggesting legislation to protect fairness for biologically born girls and females gets in the way of transgender rights. So here's the final analysis for this guy. That small handful of guys who thinks they're women, the ones who could outrun, outlift, outcompete the women, physically fit transgenders, their rights supersede the rights of all these women out there, biological women. That's the point he's making. That we must allow someone who has a clear advantage in terms of physical ability, speed, strength, performance, to trump the rights of women who were not born with that extra ability, that the superior ability in speed, strength, and performance. They never had a chance. But because he believes he's a she, you are saying it is discriminatory to force him, even dressed as a woman, he can compete in sports. This DeSantis' bill does not prohibit them from competing in sports. They just have to compete in their biological sport. So if it's a biological male, even though he is convinced all day long and he can't convince him otherwise it's he's a female, he's still going to compete against other men in men's sports. That's okay. There isn't a pre-existing advantage then. But in the eyes of the LGBTQ advocacy groups, the trans advocacy groups anyway, all women must take a back seat to the transgender male, biological male. Something completely wrong with that picture. At least Governor DeSantis has put his foot down. He's not going to have anything to do with that. 7:26 right now, David Mann returns. Fast approaching 7:31 right now. 55 KRC Talk Station. I've been looking forward to this all morning since I found out he was going to be on the program. Return of Councilman David Mann. David, good to have you back on the show. I hope you and your family are well.
We're doing great, Brian. How about you?
Cannot be. I'm very happy, very healthy, and I had a really nice 4-day weekend, man. So I just good. I'm in a good place right now. I really am.
Good.
Speaking of good places, I have been encouraging my listeners to give you very serious consideration for mayor. I think you're the superior candidate of those who are running for mayor of the city of Cincinnati. Of course, an unbelievably important election this November.
Yes.
I mean, can you remember, just offhand, David, can you remember or think of a time when there was an election that was, I mean, I think this important or this profound, given that they have term limits and the turnover that's going to happen, the whole new council, new mayor, has this ever happened on this level before?
No, and it's the fallout from the fact that we had 4-year terms. Now we're back to 2-year terms, but most of the council was term limited, and of course some people have left for other reasons. But as you know, the only elected incumbent who is will be on the ballot in the fall is Greg Landsman. So we're going to have a complete turnover. We're going to have a lot of new people, and that's very challenging. Because these are hard times for the city.
They are hard times. We're going to touch upon that because one of the reasons you're here today is to talk about the budget. But you know, this goes back to why I am so in favor of folks voting for you. You have done this before. You have experience on council. And I know people love the idea of, you know, an outsider coming in to rescue us all or save us all from themselves. But when you talk about a brand new council with all inexperienced people who have never touched or dealt with the city government before, at least on a level that you have to be familiar with it as a council member, you need someone at the helm who's been there and done that and understands processes and who is in my estimation, you're the best person, diplomatically speaking. I mean, we need a man of experience as mayor.
Amen, brother. I mean, we're talking about over 6,000 employees. We're talking about an annual budget of $1.5 billion. So, you know, on-the-job training is very risky for the city just now. We've been through the pandemic. We've been through a lot of unrest, and we got to get on course and we get back to producing jobs and keeping our citizens safe.
Where do folks learn about your campaign, David? Do you have a website they could go to? Yes.
Thanks for asking. It's manforcincinnati.com, and obviously a man is spelled with two N's.
Manforcincinnati.com. Check it out,
yes,
listeners.
Sir.
I mean, as compared to the other choices, and I don't think there is a choice. All right, David, is the campaign fundraising going okay? Are you going to be out and about? And are there your website, I presume, will let folks know where you're going to be and that kind of thing?
Yes, and also our Facebook page and our tweets and, you know, all the and our regular email blasts, all those things. Yeah, I mean, with the pandemic moving away, I can actually see people without masks. So it's very exciting. And I enjoy campaigning. I enjoy engaging with folks. I learn a lot that way. They learn a lot about me, and that's been missing. And the primary for mayor was filled with these Zoom forums.
Oh, yeah.
No eye contact, no body language. Not good.
Not good at all. I'm so welcoming this return to normal. All right, let's pause a little early because I'm sure you've gotten wind of or have read articles at least about the Ohio Senate's version of the state budget. It's got a very important thing we need to focus on, and that is the taxes that have been collected during the COVID-19 period. David and I have talked about this before. It's going to have a profound impact on the budget. So let's talk budget when we get back with David Mann. One word, though, first for U.S. Coming up on 7:38 at 55 KRC, the Talk Station. Josh Mandel returns to the program after the top of the hour news. We have Judge Anna Napolitano, as we do every Wednesday at 8:30, coming up. And we're going to learn about the 2021 Law Enforcement Expo from officer from the Springdale Police Department, Keenan Reardon. In the meantime, Councilman David Mann from Cincinnati City Council is on. We're going to start diving into the budget. Budget springs from money, and you may not have as big a pile of money as we thought. David, now we've been talking about the earnings tax, and I know the state of Ohio passed a law allowing municipalities during COVID-19 to continue collecting those taxes. My understanding is the House budget for the state allows the retroactive refunding back to the beginning of this calendar year. But the Senate's version, which just came out yesterday, allows Ohioans to seek refunds all the way back to 2020. Now, if that is the case and the Senate's version passes, David, the city's going to have to write some checks and refund the tax collection that they engaged in. How is that going to even work?
It's going to be devastating for the city. You've got to understand, first of all, like 70% of our earnings, our revenues come from the earnings tax.
Yep.
Half the earnings tax comes from folks who live outside the city in normal times, work in the city. Most of them are going to want to come back to the city. Is there going to be anything left? And, you know, some way, somehow, if we had to, we could accommodate the House version, and we've already made some provision by setting aside some of the federal stimulus funds that have been available. But to go all the way back to 2020 I don't know how we would deal with it. Now, procedurally, technically, people would have to file for refunds.
Right.
And a lot of folks live in cities or villages that tax them on anything that they don't pay taxes on in the city. So they're... The one good thing may be that there wouldn't be a great deal of debt benefit to them.
So in other words, it's not worth the process because, well, heck,
yeah, exactly.
If I get it back from the city and my municipality is just going to take the same amount of money out, I don't really care. I'm not going to deal with it.
Oh, yeah, well, townships, we're only talking about cities and villages that have an earnings tax. Townships don't. So if you're in a township, would be a, you know, you would get the total benefit of the taxes that the
That's me.
It is. But I hope the legislature at least will limit the damage to 2021. Otherwise, we're really. Do we care about our cities? They are the core of the engines of development and jobs and civic activity, and we got to have participation.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that point, David, but the lawyer in me and just looks to the idea that, wait a second, the whole basis for being able to tax people who do not live in this or that municipality is because they're using our goods and services when they come into work. When they're not coming into work, the whole foundation for that tax collection falls apart. And I know it's the subject of litigation right now, and I think some of the lower courts have just said, no, you can continue to collect it.
Right.
But
right.
I really don't personally see that lasting. So if the Senate's version of the bill doesn't make it through and they go with the retroactive to the beginning of this calendar year type of refund kind of thing, fine. But I suspect a court of law is going to ultimately conclude that, you know, that there is no logical, reasonable, or lawful connection to allow a city of Cincinnati to collect taxes from the guy who lives out in Sims Township, for example.
Yeah, I hope you don't represent him. I understand the argument, and all I'm saying is there will be a devastating impact.
Yes,
you know, let's get past that. The technical legal argument, which is important. I don't discount that in any way. But the impact will be not good on your central city. And if you care about the things that you do benefit from, even if you never come downtown, never come into the city,
yes,
it could be problematic.
It could. And you know, I double down on that point all the time, David, because a lot of my listeners don't live in the city and maybe don't even go there. But I point out to my friends in Northern Kentucky and Southeast Indiana and the collar counties around the city, whatever Cincinnati does has a profound impact on your community. We're the central hub of the entire region here. If the city of Cincinnati fails, it's a national embarrassment. Its streets are falling apart and the crime runs rampant and everything. It's a reflection on the whole area. You can't escape it. We have to care
right,
what goes
right,
on in the city.
Right, right. Now, you know, not to mention the corruption, the experiences we've had in the
yes.
last year and a half. Same thing. You know, it's a black eye on the area throughout the country.
All right. Well, I think in either case, we all appreciate there's going to perhaps be some belt tightening that has to go on.
Yep.
I mean, even if a small percentage of folks decide they're going to stay home after this pandemic and the world opens back up, there's going to be less earnings tax coming in. How did you approach that and deal with that in the budget? What items are going to get pared back, David, and what did you give priority to?
Basics. We are going to have three police recruit classes in the fiscal year that begins July 1. Two of them, the regular kind where we recruit younger folks, and then another class of lateral transfers in. We're inviting people who meet our qualifications to come to the city. So that's good. Two firefighter recruit classes. So we're taking seriously the need to keep operating the city and to be a city that's safe. That meets basic services. And because of the stimulus package, and because we haven't, we've been careful to retain enough to deal with these contingencies, for 2022, we're actually in pretty good shape, unless some of the things we're talking about happen, and then I think there's enough there to get us through. After that, who knows? I mean, I hope the world comes back, and I hope folks decide that, you know, working at home forever isn't necessarily a good idea. Employers decide that we do better if our employees are engaged with each other personally rather than on a computer.
Well, I'll be the first to support that notion, just because, you know, I lived the office life and the cube land life when I was practicing law, and the thing I still miss 15 years later, being on radio that long, is the social interaction that I had.
Right.
I just of those people that I would spend time with and talk with and, you know, joke and laugh with, I don't see anymore. I'm here by myself with Joe Strecker, and that's it. I leave, and I spend my day with, you know, no one around me except now my wife, because she works at home. So, yeah, it really is. The social aspect is just cannot be replaced at all.
Well, and the social aspect impacts productivity. You know, if you have a few minutes around the water cooler or sipping coffee, maybe you've talked about some of the problems, work problems, and in any event, you feel better about how you spend the other 50 minutes of the hour.
Yep. Or, you know, if you're working at home, though, David, that means you got 5-10 minutes to go out and do a little weeding or gardening or maybe a load of laundry. I know my wife has maximized her time and loves it. That's the battle.
Which question are you on?
That's the battle we're fighting. There's pros and cons. How about, I got to assume, everybody knows about big infrastructure projects. Are there any plan for the upcoming year that separate money's been allocated for? I know we always talk about the Western Hills Viaduct, which is a multi-hundred million dollar project. Of course, you're not going to be rebuilding the Brent Spence Bridge in Cincinnati City Council, but are there any anticipated large public works projects that have to be funded?
Well, there's some routine public works projects, and our capital budget is kind of tight, but that's very important. And we hope, we did pass the countywide transit levy, and part of the deal is that some of the money is supposed to be spent on infrastructure projects along transit right-of-ways. So we're expecting a fair chunk of that to help us fill the budget that, as you say, is very huge for the Western Hills Viaduct.
Well, and I know there was a point there when folks had the opportunity to vote on a $50 million outlay off the top of the general fund to fund. I know, we can laugh about it now, but it was a real concern there for a while in an off election.
It sounded so easy, right?
Yeah.
$50 million, and don't worry about where it comes from.
Don't worry about where it comes from. But was there any... And I got to say, Seelbach got a token line item in the budget for $50,000 for a counselor to deal with struggling youth, suicidal LGBTQ kids. And I'm still struggling over how much you can get by way of counseling for $50,000. It was a token symbolic amount, but nonetheless, it was there. Is there an amount set aside for, and I'm using the quote things with my finger, affordable housing in Cincinnati's budget?
From the stimulus funds that we appropriated 2 weeks ago, yes, there are funds set aside for the Port Authority and for a new housing advisory board's recommendations that the city the mayor will be appointing. I think the total is about $6 million.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
That's a more reasonable approach to affordable housing. The thought that we would even know how to responsibly spend $50 million every year is ridiculous. So we're talking about $6 million, and then we'll see whether we can make some significant progress, and then we'll explore whether there are other funds available with it. But it's all federal money that came available to us.
All right, and ultimately the public will get an opportunity to comment on this. When and where, and how's that work, David?
Today the city administration is going to present the budget to us, 800 pages and two bound volumes, and then our first budget hearing is tomorrow night at City Hall starting at 5 o'clock. You can participate in person. You can participate virtually. I expect we'll hear from a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And then next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, same time, 5 o'clock until we're done. We want to hear from people, and then we'll make our decisions. We have to make them by the end of June.
Got some time to look at it, and yep, I will encourage my listeners, you are impacted, whether you're living in the city, working in the city or not, you are impacted by this, so it's important that you take a look at it and offer your comments and criticisms. David Mann, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. I wish you the best of luck between now and then.
Thanks,
Mann for mayor. I'm glad to hear you got the police recruit classes, David. I'm just sitting here worried about whether anybody's going to show up, man. That's a real problem that we have in the country generally. It's not a profession.
Well, I mean, why should we be surprised if we show nothing but disrespect? At some point, people say, "Why should I bother with that?" Much as I may want to serve my community, so we got to turn that around.
Amen to that. Until we talk again, stay well.
Thanks, Brian.
Take care. It's 749, 55 KRC, the Talk Station. Opportunity. It's 7:53 at 55 KRC, the Talk Station. I hope you have a decent Wednesday. Josh Mandel coming up. He'll be on after the top of the hour news, find out how his Senate campaign is going, how the fundraising is going, of course, with the latest news about him losing a couple of the fundraisers. I'm not quite sure why that happened. But he also has a couple of comments on that Vax-a-Millions program, the idea that you need to be bribed, entered into a lottery in order to get a vaccine that might save your life. How much sense does that make? Also, he wants to address the 1619 Project. Apparently, the state of Ohio and its website is peddling this snake oil. Again, all designed to undermine the fabric of the United States of America. I just go back to that story that I mentioned earlier. There's that park in, was it Seattle? It's a $700,000 or $700 million park and green space on the water there. It's designed to, you know, well, give some of the taxpayer money back to so you have a place to go and enjoy and relax with your family. This is the idea anyway. But before you get in it, you got all this woke screaming at you type nonsense about how this, we're systemically racist and we're all evil and welcome all people, but more specifically biopic the people of color, black, indigenous, etc. You know, you're more welcome than the rest of the people. That's the message that's being conveyed. Boy, I wish we'd just go back to Dr. King. Content of character, not color of skin. We just leave it at that. Be a decent person, and we'll judge you accordingly. Because everyone, let's face it, gets judged. So anyhow, back to real quick on David Mann. I Democrat, yes. I mean, do I disagree with David Mann politically? Yes. But I'm the same way with John Cranley. But John Cranley, you know, it's going to be a Democrat elected to the city of Cincinnati as mayor. It's probably going to be a larger slate of Democrats elected on council. This has been the norm. We are a blue city and a blue county. So the city, I mean, whether you're conservative or liberal, you're going to have to pick a good man. And now is not the time to go with an untested individual. Everyone elected, with one exception, if he gets reelected, everyone elected on council is going to be a novice at this job. You don't want a novice mayor on top of it. 7:55, 55 KRC, the Talk Station. Josh Mandel will be on next, followed by Judge Ann Napolitano. Hope you can stick around.
Conversation.
I pull my hair out thinking, where is this country headed to?
Begins here.
The other countries have to be looking at us right now like this is a mess. We're a joke.
55 KRSE.
8:05, coming up on 8:06. 55 KRSE Talk Station. Hope you're having a decent hump day. Bottom of the hour, you'll hear from Judge Ann Napolitano on New York's vaccine passport. Excelsior, as well as the EEOC, talking about how companies can mandate vaccines for workers. In the meantime, I'm pleased, and without further ado, Josh Mandel, who would like your vote for U.S. Senate, and of course, I would like you to vote for him. Josh Mandel, welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show. It's a real pleasure to have you back on the program.
Hey, Brian, always good to be on.
Well, let us dive onto the issue, shall we? Let's just start with how the campaign is going presently, Josh, and I remind my listeners they can find your campaign website at joshmandel.com. Very simple, very easy. So, at least insofar as the 10,000-foot level, how things going?
Campaign's going really well. We are running the campaign in a non-traditional way. And instead of running it through traditional Republican Party groups, we are running it through churches. And we've had this outpouring of support throughout the state. We spoke to about 500 people at a Solid Rock Church there in Lebanon.
Oh, yeah.
Far from where you're sitting. We had 300 people at Washington Heights Baptist Church there in Dayton, 250 people at Victory and Truth Ministries in Bucyrus. We were just in Marietta at Freedom Gate Church last week. And so we're having these church town halls all over the state, outpouring of support. And we just have all these patriots showing up, Brian, people who want to take back the country. And my feeling is that, yes, we have to do everything we can to stop the radical left and the secular left from destroying America. But I also believe that we're in a fight for the soul of the Republican Party and the soul of the conservative movement. And we don't want more Mitt Romneys out there. We don't want more Mike DeWines or John Kasichs. We want more Jim Jordans. We want more Ted Cruz's. And that's what I'm going to be like. I'm a constitutional conservative. And on top of that, I'm going to advance the Trump America First agenda. And I'll take on the radical left, but I'll also take on squishy establishment Republicans as well. And the campaign's going really well doing that.
Glad to hear that. And, of course, I know a lot of my listeners feel the same way. That is their mindset. Not thrilled with the Mitt Romneys of the world. Let me ask you this, though. My understanding is it's widely reported. I got to ask you, you had several fundraisers resign from your campaign. Is that in connection with your philosophy, your attitude towards the sort of rhino or the wishy-washy Republicans that exist in the party? Does it have something to do with that or wanting to distance yourself from perhaps the anti-Trump wing of the Republican Party?
Yeah, that story was sort of misleading, and we don't talk about internal strategy and whatnot, but I can tell you that my message about taking on the establishment and my message about taking on DeWine and what he's done by trampling our liberty with his overreaching tyrannical shutdowns on COVID, it's really connecting with voters throughout Southwest Ohio, throughout the Cincinnati area, but frankly, in every corner of Ohio. We just have this outpouring of grassroots conservative support, and it's like nothing I've ever seen before, Brian, where people who've never been active in politics before are just popping up, contacting our campaign, and saying, we want to help. And I think they see that I'm the only candidate out here that has the guts and the intestinal fortitude to take on the establishment. And listen, Mike DeWine is not very happy with me. In fact, he's very angry with me because I keep calling him out on his liberal garbage, first with the tyrannical shutdowns on COVID. And then yesterday, I uncovered, with the help of a friend of mine, actually, from Cincinnati, that DeWine is pushing the 1619 Project, this racist, inaccurate, revisionist trash from the New York Times, on our kids. Like, on the state of Ohio's website, DeWine's website, he's encouraging folks to teach the 1619 Project. So I don't know if you saw the post I made on that. Brian, I'm telling you, if you go on my social media, you can see it. It's on DeWine's Department of Education website, and he's pushing educators to teach the 1619 Project.
Is that his stamp of approval, the fact that it's on the Department of Education's website? Because we all know the Departments of Education are beholden to the teachers' unions, and this left-wing nonsense, seemingly regardless of which state you're in. Education departments tend to be all these left-wingers, some almost like impossible to stand up with. I mean, so are you suggesting, is it been confirmed that DeWine himself has said, yes, 1619 Project should, in fact, be taught to our young people in spite of all the problems that we realize that it has? Or is this people under him supporting it? And because I'm curious to know. This is frightening revelation, Josh.
Well, obviously the people under him are supporting it, but listen, the buck stops with him. He's the leader of the state. He's the executive of the state. If he wanted the 1619 Project off the state of Ohio's website, it would be gone, right now, immediately.
Well,
but
this is a call to arms for my listeners. They are very active and are happy to let their voices be known to their elected officials when they do something as bizarre and stupid, particularly for a Republican, as push the 1619 stuff. So, listeners, you know how to get in touch with Governor DeWine. Let's light up the phones, light up the email, text him, make your opinion known. That's outrageous. Josh, where can they find that link on your – which social media site are you pushing folks towards?
Every time I turn around, I'm getting kicked off Twitter or Facebook. But today, if they go on my Facebook or they go on the Twitter, my handle is Josh Mandel Ohio on Twitter, and they just go to my Josh Mandel Facebook page. They can see it. We're also on Gab and Parler and Telegram and Instagram, so they can go on any of those. And I believe there's probably a press release on our website, too,
and our
website's pretty easy. It's just joshmandel.com.
Yeah, you got to update it because I checked that one this morning. It is not there. That's why I asked you which social media site, because I do see it on your Facebook page. But we need to get that on the joshmandel.com. You have people that will do that, I know. So now that we've said it out loud, it'll be there later, I'm sure. Let's talk about that on another level, because part of the problem with Governor DeWine is that, for me at least, and I hate the idea that COVID has become a Republican-Democrat thing. To me, it's just a logical, reasonable, follow the law or do not follow the law thing. We have laws on the books which gives the director or the board of or the health director in the state of Ohio the authority, the legal on the books law authority, to address and quarantine people who are actually sick. That authority does not currently, nor has it ever, extended to people who are well. The governor kind of latched onto that, and like all the other governors in these various states, starts throwing out mandates, edicts, when you can, you know, drink booze and when you can't, how late your bark. None of this came from some lawful authority. The legislative branch didn't do anything to give the governor the authority to do any of this. That's what rubs me the wrong way more than anything about this. You can make a case for masks, I guess, but that doesn't mean you have a lawful vehicle to force anyone to do something. This is the problem, isn't it, Josh? I mean, we have runaway dictatorial authority going on here.
Dictatorial is a good way of putting it, and he did not have the authority. I believe Mike DeWine was in love with the moment, and he viewed himself as the COVID czar, and he missed the main question here, and the question was not about health or experts. The question was about liberty. And he was so enthralled with being the man in the moment that he missed the question on liberty. And we're finding out now, Brian, that Fauci lied. And the CDC and all these numbers and stats and things that were provided to these liberal governors like Andrew Cuomo, Gavin Newsom, and Mike DeWine, it was a bunch of garbage. It was the federal government lying to the people and lying to the states.
Well, we certainly have found that out about insofar as the Wuhan laboratory is concerned, the idea that we were funding what most assuredly was gain-of-function research on bat coronavirus. I mean, it's a frightening reality, but there we were nonetheless. So we certainly were in a position to know more than we were told back when this thing first hit the fan last year, Josh.
Absolutely. Well, and I don't know if you saw the Fauci emails are coming out now. I don't know if you saw, his email about masks. So I'm going to quote, this is an email that Fauci sent on February 5th to Sylvia Burwell. He said, quote, "The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out the virus."
Right.
but he had all of us going to CVS and Target and Kroger to buy these masks. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't. Well, Dr. Fauci's now cashing in. He's released a book on how awesome he is, Josh. So, like Governor Cuomo, we can now read Dr. Fauci's book and allow him to make millions of dollars, probably on an advance because no one will really buy it. In any event, can you stay for another break, Josh? Got more questions
sure,
for you.
Of course.
Or with Josh Mandel. Again, you can find him online. It's 8:20 right now, 55 Care City Talk Station. Hope you're having a happy hump day. Brian Thomas here with U.S. Senate candidate Josh Mandel. Good man, and a man that I certainly support. And I'm looking at that post from your page on the 1619 Project. It is on, you can go to it right now, education.ohio.gov. Right there, 1619 Project Curriculum. And right there, the Ohio Department of Education's phone number and email, where it's really easy to get in touch with them. Call Laura Kohler, the president, and give her an earful. 1619 Project Curriculum, it states, and it's a link. 1619 Project is a new resource from the New York Times. The year 1619 is when the first enslaved Africans arrived on Virginia soil. The Pulitzer Center has created teacher resources for this project. And there you go. You got a link to it. So you're right, Josh. I knew you were. I just want to let my listeners know so they can give our elected officials in Columbus a big earful. Now, moving on, I wanted to ask you, because, of course, this is a Senate seat you're running for. You'll have some say over the border crisis. This has been unabated, unchecked. mass influx of illegal immigrants into our country. And, of course, Kamala Harris has been charged with dealing with it. She hasn't done jack squat. This is day 70 when she hasn't uttered a syllable about it. So what is your assessment, if you were U.S. Senator Josh Mandel, as we hope you are someday, what's your assessment and solution for the problem?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Yeah, I've been down there. I've been on the border. I had the U.S. Border Guard, Customs, the guards down there who actually keep the border secure, try to take me along the river. And here's the deal. You need a wall. President Trump was correct in wanting to build the wall. And listen, we should have a door that comes into the United States, but you got to come in the right way, just like my ancestors did and your ancestors and the ancestors of your listeners. We can't allow people to come into this country where their first act is committing a felony by coming in illegally. And what really makes my blood boil is you see our tax money from Ohio be used to put these illegals in hotels down there while you have homeless veterans on the streets of Cincinnati and Dayton and Toledo. I mean, it's so enraging, you know, as a Marine Corps vet myself, but just as an American, it's just so outrageous on so many levels. And listen, we don't want to build a wall because we hate the people outside. It's sort of like it's because we love America and love Americans. It's sort of like, why do we have a lock on our front door? We have a lock on our front door not because we hate the people outside, but because we love the people inside.
Yeah.
And it's the same concept. And the problem you have here is that you have liberals who are complete hypocrites, and they're loud and proud about being the hypocrites. I mean, if you look at right now, these liberals have put a wall around the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah, yeah.
Around the people's house. So Pelosi and Schumer, they're trying to basically keep the people out so we, the people, can't hold the politicians' feet to the fire in Washington. And they have no problem keeping we, the people, out of the people's house in Washington. But then they want to have illegal foreigners come into the United States, and they have a problem about having a wall down there. I mean, the whole thing is just so rich in hypocrisy.
It is. And ultimately, you know, you're right about protecting the people within. It's not that that anybody at the border is represents necessarily a threat to us. It's an existential threat in the sense that our social safety, our social welfare safety net is already a disaster. An impending doom is right there. If you look at the numbers, we can ill afford the people who are already scheduled to receive benefits, whether it's Social Security or Medicaid or Medicare, whatever. Adding that many more, and Joe Biden's talking about going ahead and accepting 11 million of the illegal immigrants in our country and offering them citizenship. We have a real problem on our hands.
It's a real problem. Listen, I also think President Trump was right in calling out the fact that a lot of the drugs, if not the vast majority of them that have killed Ohioans, came through the Mexican border into the United States. And listen, a lot of that stuff, it starts in China and makes its way to Mexico, and it comes up to Ohio and it kills people. On top of that, you've got these MS-13 gangs who've raped and killed Americans. And listen, I think President Trump was spot on with wanting to build a wall and being tough on immigration. And it was well overdue that the Republican Party assume a platform like that. And I don't think just Republicans are for that. I think if you talk to Joe and Jane Sixpack in Cincinnati or in Middletown or in Batavia or in Lebanon, and you ask them that same question, I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Vegetarian, what have you, they want to have a job, and they want their kids to have a job, and they want their family to be able to live in safety and security, and they don't want gangbangers from MS-13, and they don't want drugs and drug cartels coming across the border. And so, yeah, we got to be tough on immigration and put Americans first.
No doubt about it. Josh Mandel, it's always a real pleasure talking to you. I'm going to recommend, again, my listeners find you on social media. Go to joshmandel.com. Wherever you use the donate button right there. You should do that, too. Help Josh out. We could use good men like Josh. And, Josh, until we talk again, I wish you the best of health, both to you and your family, and best of luck with the campaign.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for what you're doing to stand up for liberty. I feel like you're at the pointy tip of the spear, standing up for liberty, you know, for our state and our country and our families, and we all appreciate it.
Coming from you, man, you have no idea. I got chill up my spine hearing that out of your mouth. KRC, the talk station. A very happy Wednesday to you, and welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show, a moment I look for all week. Judge Ed Napolitano, welcome back.
What the devil is... Good morning, Brian. What the devil is he talking
about? Vax-a-million. This is Governor DeWine's brainchild. It is the idea that they have a lottery. You are eligible to win a prize of $1 million if you are one of the vaccinated people who becomes eligible to win, and your name is drawn from the hat, in essence. If you're younger than 18, okay, they're giving you a free scholarship. It seems crazy. If they have a vaccine that's going to prevent you from maybe dying, that seems like enough incentive for me to go ahead and do it. But what do I know? I had COVID and I have the antibodies naturally. No one seems to acknowledge that as a legitimate pass to get around. What's the deal in New York? Are we all going to have Excelsior passes, Judge?
You know, I'm a little ambivalent about this. People have the right to use whatever means they want to show that they've been vaccinated, if they want to do it. The government doesn't have the right to force you to do it, and no one has the right to command you to do it. So if I'm about to enter, and I'll just kind of pick a name out that everybody will recognize, Walmart or Disney World, and they say, where's your pass? There's one side of this argument that says they can do it because it's private property and they can regulate who comes on private property. The other side of the argument is, the status of my health is between my doctor and me, and that privacy is quite properly protected by federal law, and you, private property owner, cannot force me to violate federal law. The same thing happens, and I know you want to talk about this in a minute or two, with respect to the employer-employee relationship. So, Brian, this is virgin legal territory about which there are no meaningful appellate-level cases. And it's hard for me to predict which way it's going to go, in deference to personal liberty and privacy, in deference to the rights of the property owner.
Well, let's look at it in terms of like a smoking ban. Now, a government, it used to be there was some sanity in smoking bans, and this is not me advocating for smoking, but if I was a private business owner and I had a restaurant and I wanted to have, let's say, a cigar bar catering to only the smallest percentage of the population, that's okay with me. If you don't like smoke, don't come in. It's your choice. There are other options in the world. For someone who stops at the door and says, I don't want to be around smoke, there's like 9,000 other restaurants you can go to in lieu of
Correct.
That. This, in a state building, though, I always advocated, I understand that. I must go to the courthouse. There's only one of them, and I shouldn't be accosted by potentially harmful secondary smoke. So you can make a good argument for banning it in a place where you must be.
And these arguments are not necessarily arguments of government power versus individual liberty. They're
right.
really arguments about common sense and freedom of choice.
Indeed.
So this morning when I went to buy my newspapers, I was chatting with the woman that saves them for me each day and hands them to me when I show up at the crack of dawn. And we were kidding around about how we all look different without masks on. And I said, well, you know, the owner of this establishment decided whether or not I wear a mask, not the government. If he told me I had to wear a hat in order to come in here and I didn't want to wear the hat, I'd have to go somewhere else to buy my newspapers. That's my right to go where I want and his right to impose conditions upon entering his property. The same thing applies with respect to masks and with respect to proving that you've been vaccinated. I mean, I'm contemplating going to Europe this summer. I don't know what to expect if I go there. I don't know what kind of proof they're going to demand.
Right.
And it seems to be changing day by day, so it might not be a good summer for Americans to go. I'm not sure. I'm not suggesting people not go. I'm just suggesting they do some research before they do.
Well, in New York State, it's called the Excelsior Pass. It's proof that you have the vaccine.
This thing has taken off. All the kids, young people who've been vaccinated, and I'm glad they have, voluntarily vaccinated, not by government mandate, have this app on their iPhones. And you go into a club or you go into a restaurant and you just show this thing and you're home free. The real question is, can the government force me to do this? Answer, no. Can the landowner or the tenant, the lawful occupier of the land, the people who own or run the restaurant, force me to do it? Not very clear.
Not very clear, but the EEOC has pretty much said that that is okay in their eyes. I mean, not that
so
they're the final.
The EEOC is now giving legal advice
yeah.
to employers in all 50 states where real estate law and health care law is different in all 50 states. And they're basically saying as long as you make an accommodation for your non-vaccinated workers, you can force your people to get vaccines. Or you can say only vaccinated workers will come back. I don't know how that's going to work out either because of the privacy implications. The federal
Indeed.
Statute is HIPAA, H-I-P-P-A.
It's Health Insurance Portability Accountability
exactly
Act.
What it stands
Health
for,
Insurance Portability Accountability Act, Your Honor.
There
my,
you go.
My wife
go.
Is an expert in it.
You're right. I forgot about that. It, among many other things that it shouldn't do that it does, this one it does do, and it protects the privacy of your medical records from everyone, from your employer, from the bouncer at the door, from the security person at the door. So the EEOC, which is a federal agency, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, is basically saying to employers, you can tell your employees they have to get vaccinated as long as you have a place for the non-vaccinated to work and as long as you don't discriminate against them under the Americans for Disabilities Act.
Reese.
Not being vaccinated is a disability.
Disability, yeah.
Tell that to George H.W. Bush in heaven, who championed this act for most of his presidency.
Well, and
listen,
it's
I don't know where this is going to go, Brian, but it's a new, as I said, it's a new area of law.
Well, and I understand. The HIPAA works. It prevents your medical providers and those who are under, you know, specific contracts that allow them to share your medical records with. They're not allowed to give it to anybody. You can't, you know, your medical records are protected. The employer might ask you to force you to waive that protection by producing one of those medical records, i.e. the vaccine certificate, in order to work there. That's not necessarily a HIPAA violation. They're not gaining unlawful access to the records. They're just saying, listen, if you want to work here, you got to show me.
You know, the courts have not yet ruled on that because, again, these are so new. You make a very compelling argument. The flip side of that argument is this little card that I carry in my wallet. By the way, I had mine reduced down to wallet size and laminated, so it's the size of a credit card, so that it would endure, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to have to carry this with me. I still have my draft card. And I still have my Social Security card, which I got when I was six. Anyway, where were we? It's an interesting question as to whether the fact, the recorded fact that you've received the vaccine constitutes a medical record. If it does not, then the employer can require you to show it, and Disney, just using Disney as an example, can require you to show it. If it is a medical record, then no one can require you to show it unless they're going to change that statute
right.
in order to accommodate, let's face it, the rational needs of people who operate businesses. There are 2,000 people that work at Fox And I know many of them who, and we are cheek by jowl, particularly in the newsroom, almost literally. I mean, you are 18 inches away from the person next to you. There's a lot of seats that are unassigned, and you grab a computer, the first computer that's available to you, and you look up from the computer screen, and suddenly the 10 around you are filled with 10 other people.
Yeah.
You are really on top of everybody else. Do you want to be in that environment not knowing if they've been vaccinated? Or if you've been vaccinated, do you have no fear?
Well, and that should be the default right there. Otherwise, I mean, we've all been lied to that the vaccine's supposed to be effective, and if they're telling
Correct.
You, no, you still have a lot to fear after being vaccinated, I'm going into what's the point. And the next phase, and it's always a logical and reasonable question to ask, is, well, if they can demand a proof of this specific vaccine for this specific COVID-19 disease, if I can, why not HIV or any other
Brian,
communicable
you just read
disease?
My mind. This will open the door, a slippery slope, at the end of which will be total transparency of our medical records and personal histories.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The way this old ex-judge would rule when he's still on the bench.
And the discrimination that goes along with that, Your Honor.
Yes.
That's
yes,
one of the
absolutely.
Reasons why our medical records are protected from public scrutiny. I mean, people come up with a million reasons to dislike you or otherwise ostracize you. Can you imagine if you had to go out and disclose every single aspect of your physical or psychological being to the rest of the world? That's a frightening world right there.
Right, right. Yes, it is.
Judge
the world is a rough place, but it's not that bad, at least not yet.
Well, there'll be some new law being made in this area.
I think you're
going
to like my column that comes out at midnight tonight called Taking Liberty for Granted.
That's a given I'm going to like the column, Your Honor. I always like your column. Until next Wednesday,
so good,
you stay well.
The happiest mornings of the week for me.
You're good, man. I do appreciate that, sir, and I feel the same way. We'll talk again next Wednesday. Stay well.
All the best. Thank you.
841, coming up at 842, 55 KRC, the Talk Station. We're going to learn about the...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.